Stepping back, friends. So let's talk a little bit about this author. I'm pulling it straight off of her website, and you can certainly go there. And of course, if you're looking at show notes, I will have it in the footnotes. So Sally Reid is a British poet and writer born in 1971 in Suffolk, England. She was raised in a left-wing Protestant family with roots in East Anglia and Ulster. She initially pursued a career far removed from the literary world. After moving to London at age 22, she trained and worked as a psychiatric nurse, an experience that later formed the emotional depth and visceral imagery of her poetry. She earned a BA from the Open University while working, and later completed an MA at the University of South Dakota, USA. Reid's poetic journey began in her early 20s, though she has said she didn't write a good poem until age 27. Sally Reid's conversion to Catholicism is a pivotal chapter in her life and work, marked by a profound and rapid shift from atheism to faith over a 9-month period in 2010. Like we said earlier, she was raised in a left-wing Protestant family with no real strong religious ties. Reid identified as an atheist for most of her life, harboring what she later described as an instinctive anti-Catholic bias. This perspective began to unravel during a time of personal and intellectual searching, culminating in a dramatic spiritual awakening that she chronicled in her 2016 memoir, Night's Bright Darkness. The turning point came when she was living in Italy, married with a young daughter, and working on poetry that increasingly grappled with existential questions. Despite her atheism, Reid found herself drawn to explore Catholicism, initially through an intellectual lens. A key moment occurred during a conversation with a priest whom she approached to discuss her stalled poetry project about the Stations of the Cross. She posed a provocative question, something like, "What's the deal with you Catholics?" expecting a debate. Instead, the priest's response disarmed her, sparking a curiosity she couldn't shake. She began reading Catholic texts, including the writings of saints and poets like Gerard Manley Hopkins, whose work bridged her love of poetry with spiritual depth. The process accelerated as Reid experienced what she described as a direct encounter with God. In Night's Bright Darkness, and I have this part bolded, it wasn't so in the, online. She recounts a moment of overwhelming presence. And my impact was, that's an Augustinian experience. While sitting in a church, gazing at a painting of Jesus, I knew without a doubt that he was alive and there. There wasn't a gradual warming, but a seismic shift akin, she later wrote, to falling in love, or recognizing a truth she had always known but suppressed. She wrestled with skepticism, testing her experience against reason, but found it unshakable. Within months, she sought instruction in the Catholic faith and was received into the church in 2010, a process she likens to coming home. Her faith also inspired nonfiction, like Annunciation, A Call to Faith in a Broken World, 2018, where she explores Mary's Yes as a model for her own surrender. Finally, Reid attributes her conversion to a mix of grace and her own openness to truth, however unexpected. She said it dismantled her preconceptions about Catholicism, herself, and her vocation as a writer, replacing them with a mission to express divine encounter through language. Living in Italy near Rome, she remains immersed in this faith, her poetry and prose now a testament to a journey from disbelief to devotion.
It's It's an interesting thing. I think because poets, just in general, by their nature, have an engagement with the real in a way that most people don't, right? They see things. This is one of the things when I was teaching my class on poetry last year was to, first of all, with that first level of engagement with the poem, right? That you need to just read it and take everything at face value. You know, if they say the sky is red and the sea is green, right? Then just go with that, right? You enter into that in a really kind of profound way because it does shake the way that you're going to see the world a little bit. And then maybe, you know, you could read into that a little bit. What is a red sky? And then you and you ask yourself, well, what could all of those things mean? Well, a red sky in the morning, right? Well, that could mean that you're going to have a storm coming, right? I mean, so a red sky could be stormy weather. If you have the red sky in the evening, maybe it's going to foretell beautiful weather, right? So, and then a sea of green. Well, what is a sea of green? I mean, could it be shamrocks? Could it be, I mean, in light of our just having celebrated St. Patrick's Day, right? But I mean, a sea of green, what does that mean, right? I mean, first you just see water that's green, right? But then you engage at a deeper level. And I think in some instances, because the poet, and you know, it's not my nature, I don't write well like that, but I mean, I can appreciate them. But I think that what's really interesting about that is that in some ways, with her, I mean, obviously there's an honesty here, right? I mean, something she's grappling with, I think you made some comment about her grappling with, you know, what are considered existential questions, right? What is it that makes us tick? You know, who are we? Those are really kind of questions that lend themselves to abstraction. But the only way that the human mind can really enter into abstraction is through sense experiences, right? So they become, they're almost like interpreters. How did she say it? The poetry is a divine encounter through language, right? They can take an objective sense experience and describe it in a manner that opens up the consciousness to meaning that lies behind it. And I think that when you do that, if you're honest, how could you not then come to an awareness of God?
That's right. I liked her that she had, she was what I would, I have this little bucket of what I call honest atheist. Mm-hmm. They're atheist, but they're honest. And what I mean by honest is that they really are searching for truth, and for whatever reason, and as St. Paul will tell us, ultimately truth is going to be a gift.
Right, right? It is.
And Augustine was in that bucket until the Lord reached down and revealed himself in the garden, you know, and he said, take up and read. And he took it, and we'll get to Augustine. I'll unpack that a little bit there. But the same happened with her. You know, she was honest, grappling. She's reading saints and poets of great depth, Hopkins. And then she knew. And then she makes a decisive choice for him, just as Augustine will do. Once right. He knows, that's the end of that, or even St. Patrick, if you will, with his conversion out. Once he, you know, he had that real encounter and, you know, out tending sheep, as it were, at that time as a slave, he knows, and there's never any waffling after that moment.
Right. Yeah, and I think that maybe, you know, just to bring back what that line that you had highlighted, right? That moment of overwhelming presence.
Yes.
Right. There is that transition where, you know, it's what our senses fail to fathom. Right. I mean, as the poet, she is very in tune to what her senses can fathom. Right. But God is beyond that. And it required that moment, right? Where in looking at an image, right? Suddenly There's something beyond the objective. There is something that is personal and subjective that is not impactful on eye, ear, nose, touch, taste. No, it's impactful on the heart. And I mean, what a great gift then, right? For her to be able to experience that, because, and really a great gift for us too, because she is then capable of being able to use her ability to see what she can fathom objectively, but now reckon that there is something underneath, right? There's more there. I mean, I think most poets who are honest would see that anyway. They just might not be able to name it.
That's right. That's right. All right, my friends, let us pick up in the next episode. Till then, fides et ratio.